Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Monday, April 10th episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host. The Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us over at christianpodcastcommunity.org. Definitely worth your while. I would absolutely recommend it. A lot of great listening over there. It will not be a waste of time. Fact is, you'll run out of time to listen to all the things you want to listen to. I want to continue to point you at the final list in our show notes. It is for the Vail Valley Baptist Church Give, Send, Go campaign. We are striving to rapidly pay off our mortgage so we can shift gears and commence establishment of a Christian classic education-based school to offer a trustworthy alternative within our community. So go ahead and click on the link. You can read through a much more thorough description than I just gave you. And then we would ask you to do three things for us. We'd ask you to pray for us. We'd ask for you to prayerfully consider giving to us, and then we would ask you to pass the link along so that others can take a look at it and do the same. Sorry about this. I know I had promised we would be back on to doing the Bible study today, but yesterday, Easter, was so full. that's why I'm actually recording this morning. It's going to be a little late this morning. Ended up just everything with church, and then over to my son's house, my oldest son. They hosted their first Easter, and it was really late when we got home, and I just was not able to get this together. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to go ahead and do our Bible reading. I don't want us to get behind in our Bible reading, but what we will do is we will pick up on our Bible study tomorrow. I do have everything together. I just didn't have the time to get it in the can. So let's go ahead and get started this morning. We're going to open up with our second day morning prayer. It's called God Over All. And if you're wondering why I'm being a little bit quieter than usual, which is probably a good thing, it's very early in the morning and my wife is still asleep and I don't want to wake her up. So we're going to go ahead, like I said, we're going to go ahead and open up with the second day morning prayer. It's called God Over All. Let's pray. O God all sufficient, thou hast made and upholdest all things. By the word of thy power, darkness is thy pavilion. Thou walkest on the wings of the wind. All nations are nothing before thee. One generation succeeds another, and we hasten back to the dust. The heavens we behold will vanish away, like the clouds that cover them. The earth we tread on will dissolve as a morning dream. But thou, unchangeable and incorruptible, art forever and ever. God over all, blessed eternally. Infinitely great and glorious art thou. We are thy offspring in thy care. Thy hands have made and fashioned us. Thou hast watched over us with more than parental love, more than maternal tenderness. Thou hast holden our soul in life, and not suffered our feet to be moved. Thy divine power has given us all things necessary for life and godliness. Let us bless thee at all times, and forget not how thou hast forgiven our iniquities, healed our diseases, redeemed our lives from destruction, crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies, satisfied our mouths with good things, renewed our youth like the eagles. May thy holy scripture govern every part of our lives and regulate the discharge of all our duties, so that we may adorn thy doctrine in all things. Amen. All right. In our morning devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening for April 10th. It looks like he's still focusing on, like he has the last couple of days. Because Easter moves around a little bit in the calendar. The text he's doing in the devotions he's doing still seem to be focused around Easter and the crucifixion and resurrection. So the text for the morning is Luke 23:33, the place which is called Calvary. The hill of comfort is the hill of Calvary. The house of consolation is built with the wood of the cross. The temple of heavenly blessing is founded upon the riven rock, riven by the spear which pierced his side. No scene in sacred history ever gladdens the soul like Calvary's tragedy. Is it not strange the darkest hour that ever dawned on sinful earth should touch the heart with softer power? Should touch the heart with softer power, for comfort than an angel's mirth, that to the cross the mourner's eye should turn, sooner than when the stars of Bethlehem burn. Light springs from the midday midnight of Golgotha, and every herb of the field blooms sweetly, beneath the shadow of the one accursed tree. In that place of thirst, grace hath dug a fountain, which ever gusheth with waters pure as crystal, each drop capable of alleviating the woes of mankind. You who have had your seasons of conflict will confess that it was not at Olivet that you ever found comfort, not on the hill of Sinai, nor on Tabor, but Gethsemane, Gabbatha, and Golgotha have been a means of comfort to you. The bitter herbs of Gethsemane have often taken away the bitters of your life. The scourge of Gabbatha has often scourged away your cares, and the groans of Calvary have put all other groans to flight. Thus Calvary yields us comfort rare and rich. We never should have known Christ's love in all its heights and depths if he had not died, nor could we guess the Father's deep affection if he had not given his Son to die. The common mercies we enjoy all sing of love, just as the seashell, when we put it to our ears, whispers of the deep sea whence it came. But if we desire to hear the ocean itself, we must not look at everyday blessings, but at the transactions of the crucifixion. He who would know love, let him retire to Calvary and see the man of sorrows die. All right. So we're going to do our reading. Hang on. I need some tea. I'm doing tea this morning. Believe me, I'll be drinking coffee later. I just thought I'd try something a little different this morning. But of course, it's Earl Grey, which is my favorite tea. All right. So... our reading for the day is going to be Deuteronomy 34, last one of Deuteronomy, and then Joshua 1 and 2. So we're going to get back into the histories. This has all been history, but we're going to be wrapping up the last of the giving of the law and all of that stuff and these final things as Moses dies, and then Joshua takes up the reins and takes them into Israel, takes them into Palestine. So Deuteronomy 34 and then Joshua 1 and 2. And then we're going to be reading Luke 13, 22 to the end of the chapter. And then like the first six verses of Luke 14, we'll be reading Psalm 79 and then Proverbs 12, verse 26. So Deuteronomy 34, hear the word of the Lord. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And Yahweh showed him all the land. All the land, Gilead as far as Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, and the Negev, and the plain in the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees as far as Zoar. Then Yahweh said to him, this is the land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, I will give it to your seed. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. So Moses, the servant of Yahweh, died there in the land of Moab, according to the command of Yahweh, and he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, but no man knows his burial place to this day. Now Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his vigor abated. So the sons of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses came to an end. Now Joshua the son of Nun was filled with the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him, and the sons of Israel listened to him and did as Yahweh had commanded Moses. And there has not yet arisen a prophet in Israel like Moses, whom Yahweh knew face to face. In regard to all the signs and wonders which Yahweh sent him to do in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh, all his servants and all his land, and in regard to all the mighty power, and in regard to all the great terror which Moses did in the sight of all Israel. All right. And Joshua 1. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, that Yahweh spoke to Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' attendant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. So now arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. All the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea, toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, to be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn aside from it to the right or to the left, so that you may be prosperous wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way successful, and then you will be prosperous. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be in dread or be dismayed, for Yahweh your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan to go in to possess the land which Yahweh your God is giving you to possess it. To the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word which Moses the servant of Yahweh commanded you, saying, Yahweh your God gives you rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But you shall cross before your brothers in battle array, all your valiant warriors, and shall help them, until Yahweh gives your brothers rest as he gives you, and they also possess the land which Yahweh your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession, and possess it, which Moses the servant of Yahweh gave you, beyond the Jordan to the east toward the sunrise. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we listened to Moses in all things, so we will listen to you. Only may Yahweh your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not listen to your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. And Joshua 2. Then Joshua the son of Nun sent 2 men as spies secretly from Shittim, saying, go see the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came into the house of a harlot whose name was Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land. But the woman had taken the 2 men and hidden them, and she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. Now it happened when it was time to shut the gate at dark that the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and concealed them in the stalks of flax which she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued them on the road to the Jordan to the fords, and as soon as those who were pursuing them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that Yahweh has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard how Yahweh dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the 2 kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. Indeed, we heard it, and our hearts melted, and a courageous spirit no longer rose up in any man because of you. For Yahweh your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. So now please swear to me by Yahweh, since I have shown loving kindness to you, that you also will show loving kindness to my father's household, and give me a pledge of truth, and preserve my father and my mother, and my brothers and my sisters alive, with all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. So the men said to her, our life for yours, if you do not tell this business of ours, and it will be when Yahweh gives us the land that we will show loving kindness and truth to you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall, so that she was living on the wall. And she said to them, go to the hill country, lest the pursuers reach you, and hide yourselves there for 3 days, until the pursuers return. Then afterward you may go on your way. And the men said to her, we shall be free from this oath to you, which you have made us swear, unless, when we come into the land, you tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down, and gather to yourself into the house your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household. And it will be that anyone who goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be free. But anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be free from the oath which you have made us swear. And she said, according to your words, so be it. So she sent them away, and they went, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. And they went and came to the hill country, and remained there for 3 days, until the pursuers returned. The pursuers had sought them all along the road, but had not found them. Then the two men returned and came down from the hill country and crossed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun. And they recounted to him all that had happened to them. And they said to Joshua, surely Yahweh has given all the land into our hands. Moreover, all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before us. All right. Luke 13, verse 22 through the end of the chapter. And he was passing through from one city and village to another, teaching and proceeding on his way to Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, are there just a few who are being saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, Lord, open up to us, then he will answer and say to you, I do not know where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. And he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of unrighteousness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but yourselves being cast out. And they will come from east and west and from north and south, and will recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. Just at that time, some Pharisees approached, saying to him, leave and go from here, for Herod wants to kill you. And he said to them, go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish. Nevertheless, I must journey on today and tomorrow and the next day, for it is not possible that a prophet would perish outside of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem! The city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you did not want it. Behold, your house is left to you desolate, and I say to you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Luke 14, verses 1 through 6. And it happened that when he went into the house of one of the leaders of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to eat bread, they were watching him closely. And behold, in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. And Jesus answered and spoke to the scholars of the law and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they were silent. And he took hold of him, healed him, and sent him away. And he said to them, which one of you will have a son or an ox fall into a well, and will not immediately pull him out on a Sabbath day? And they could make no reply to this. All right, Psalm 79, a psalm of Asaph. O God, the nations have come into your inheritance. They have defiled your holy temple. They have laid Jerusalem in ruins. They have given the dead bodies of your slaves for food to the birds of the heavens, the flesh of your holy ones to the beasts of the earth. They have poured out their blood like water round about Jerusalem, and there was no one to bury them. We have become a reproach to our neighbors, a mockery and derision to those around us. How long, O Yahweh, will you be angry forever? Will your jealousy burn like fire? Pour out your wrath upon the nations which do not know you, and upon the kingdoms which do not call upon your name, for they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his abode. Do not remember our former iniquities against us. Let your compassion quickly approach us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name, and deliver us and atone for our sins for your name's sake. What should the nations say? Where is their God? Let it be known among the nations before our eyes. Vengeance for the blood of your slaves, which has been poured out. Let the groaning of the prisoner come before you. According to the greatness of your power, preserve those who are doomed to die, and return to our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom the reproach with which they have reproached you, O Lord. But as for us, as your people and the sheep of your pasture, we will give thanks to you forever. From generation to generation, we will recount your praise. Finally, Proverbs 12:26. The righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked makes them wander about. All right. Well, that is our scripture reading for the day. Our evening devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. The text here is Acts 27:23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God. Tempest and long darkness, coupled with imminent risk of shipwreck, had brought the crew of the vessel into a sad case. One man alone among them remained perfectly calm, and by his word the rest were reassured. Paul was the only man who had heart enough to say, "Sirs, be of good cheer." There were veteran Roman legionaries on board and brave old mariners, and yet their poor Jewish prisoner had more spirit than they all. He had a secret friend who kept his courage up. The Lord Jesus dispatched a heavenly messenger to whisper words of consolation in the ear of his faithful servant. Therefore he wore a shining countenance and spake like a man at ease. If we fear the Lord, we may look for timely interpositions when our case is at its worst. Angels are not kept from us by storms or hindered by darkness. Seraphs think it no humiliation to visit the poorest of the heavenly family. If angels' visits are few and far between at ordinary times, they shall be frequent in our nights of tempest and tossing. Friends may drop from us, and when we are under pressure, but our intercourse with the inhabitants of the angelic world shall be more abundant, and in the strength of love words brought to us from the throne by the way of Jacob's ladder, we shall be strong to do exploits. Dear reader, is this an hour of distress with you? Then ask for peculiar help. Jesus is the angel of the covenant, and if his presence be now earnestly sought, it will not be denied. What that presence brings in heart cheer, those remember who, like Paul, have had the angel of God standing by them in a night of storm, when anchors would no longer hold and rocks were nigh. O angel of my God, be near. Amid the darkness, hush my fear. Loud roars of the wild tempestuous sea. Thy presence, Lord, shall comfort me. All right. Well, that is our show for the day. Thank you for spending this time with us. I appreciate you for putting in the time. I hope it's been edifying. I pray that it's been edifying for you and has helped to equip you and keep you saturated in the Word. It's definitely, I've been very blessed by getting to spend this time with you. Again, like I said, sorry about not having the Bible study ready to go for this evening and just how busy Easter and the whole weekend was. But I will have it ready tomorrow evening for the Tuesday evening segment. We will be back in the Bible study in John chapter 7. I hope you have a wonderful day. I want you to do all that you do for the glory of God. I would pray that you would do so. And I will hope to see you tomorrow. Let's go ahead and close out with prayer. We're going to do the second day evening prayer. It's called Bounty. Let's pray. Thou great and only potentate, thou hast made summer and winter, day and night. Each of these revolutions serves our welfare and is full of thy care and kindness. Thy bounty is seen in the relations that train us, the laws that defend us, the homes that shelter us, the food that builds us, the raiment that comforts us, the continuance of our health, members, senses, understanding, memory, affection, will. But as stars fade before the rising sun, thou hast eclipsed all these benefits in the wisdom and grace that purposed redemption by Jesus thy Son. Blessed be thy mercy that laid help on one that is mighty and willing, one that is able to save to the uttermost. Make us deeply sensible of our need of his saving grace, of the blood that cleanses, of the rest he has promised, and impute to us that righteousness which justifies the guilty, gives them a title to eternal life and possession of the Spirit. May we love the freeness of salvation and joy in its holiness. Give us faith to grasp thy promises that are our hope. Provide for every exigency and prevent every evil. Keep our hearts from straying after forbidden pleasures. May thy will bind all our wishes. Let us live out of the world as to its spirit, maxim, manners, but live in it as the sphere of our action and usefulness. May we be alive to every call of duty, accepting without question thy determination of our circumstances and our service. Amen. All right, again, hope you have a good day, and I hope to see you tomorrow. Have a nice day. God bless.